Welcome to the Sunday Sit Rep. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast, and I am your host, Austin. You guys, we're rolling into July. It's officially the second half of the year. We're in the back half of the year. It's wild, you know, it just kind of like sneaks up on you, right? And of course, we got a bunch of stuff to get into. There's a couple of things I'm going to talk about. There's at least one thing I'm going to tease for this week's upcoming episode and discussion, because I feel like, you know, when we sit down, and if you guys are joining us for the first time, we do these Sunday sit reps usually the first Sunday of the month, and sometimes we'll do additional ones, like if something really important is going on and I feel like, man, I need to sit down and talk about this, I'll pop one of these off. And you know, that happened last summer, right, when they took a shot at Trump, and I was like, man, this is critical, right, because we hadn't had an assassination attempt on a president in this country since I think it was Reagan. But yeah, so that's kind of what these are. If you guys are just joining us for the very first time on the Sunday Sit Rep, we're happy to have you aboard. Thank you so much for taking time out of your, I mean, I assume if you're listening to this on Sunday, it's your holiday weekend. I hope everybody has taken the opportunity to relax with friends or family, perhaps, right? Hopefully get away. You know, I think it's really cool that so many places have at least abbreviated hours for 4th of July. I wish more places actually closed. Like, I say that as somebody who was definitely out running around on 4th of July to pick up barbecue stuff to have friends over, because we just waited till the last minute. But I think it's cool a lot of businesses are doing it now. I think it's something that we need to lean into and embrace more in the country. But, you know, at any rate, I do hope everybody enjoyed it, or you're enjoying the weekend. Maybe it's like a long playthrough thing. Perhaps you got out of work early on Thursday or something, and then you're taking like the 3-day parlay, right? Here in Michigan, everybody goes to like the northern part of Michigan. They go, you know, literally call it up north, and they unplug from reality for a while. And I don't know if that's the case or not this year. It is super freaking hot out, and very humid, so I know that's causing a lot of issues. I know I'm still struggling with some of the heat illness stuff that I got coming off of our week-long sabbatical from Florida. So now I find that if I'm exposed too much to heat and I get dehydrated, or let myself get dehydrated at all, I start feeling pretty woozy and kind of sick. You know, it's real good stuff. But enough about me and things. We're going to get into a few topics. We're going to talk about the 4th of July here, because that's important. We're going to talk about, at least a little bit, about the flooding that's going on in Texas right now. I think it's critical to bring attention to that. And then maybe a couple other things, you know, and we might tease a little bit, like I said, of what's in the upcoming episode this week, like our regular weekly programming. I guess I can say that because we drop these episodes every Tuesday. Well, no, I record on Tuesdays. I'm sorry. I drop them on Wednesday mornings. Sorry. Regularly scheduled programming. We'll get into all that good stuff and a whole lot more. But if you guys are looking for ways to support Prepared Mindset, if you enjoy these episodes and these discussions, if you guys like hearing the sultry sounds of my voice, you guys can support us in a number of ways. We do have a Patreon. That's patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. You can head over there. We do, you know, there are some videos. There's unique and not unique, exclusive. That's what I'm talking about. Exclusive audio recordings on there. There's blog posts, there's drills, there's all kinds of stuff you can get in there. And obviously that comes directly back to me, right? It comes back to Prepared Mindset to help support what we're trying to do here, whether that's like an optic to review or a light or a helmet or gear. Whatever, it all comes back to this. It's not like I take that and go, you know, I'm going to go buy myself a steak. Like I keep that. I keep that here. I keep that for the podcast, for the YouTube channel, which we do also have a YouTube channel. So if you guys want to go check out the YouTubes, we just dropped a great video on if civilians like you and I should really bother learning CQB. There's some good information in it. I think, and this is me as the guy who made it, I think are, you know, some pretty decently articulated points. So stuff I think worth checking out. And if you guys do enjoy it, you know, hit the subscribe button. Really trying to grow the YouTube channel this year. That's a big focus, trying to be very consistent with both the shorts and the videos and things like that. And if you're looking for some swag, if you guys head on over to the Instagram page, in our link tree, you can get the link to our Spreadshirt shop. Spreadshirt is just the company that handles the printing and stuff, and the they facilitate the ordering and whatnot. But we have the new logo. You guys can pick up the new t-shirts, coffee mugs, stuff like that. We get a little piece of that, but it's mostly just to make sure that we have an outlet to provide you guys some really cool swag. I think I ordered a couple of the t-shirts. I know I gave one to my dad because he had been asking about one, and then I know I'm rocking one. And I think that's, I still have some of the old stuff too. There's some of the old logo up there, the crosshair, that stuff's still there. But then the new logo is up and ready to go. So if you guys feel so inclined to throw us some love, show us some support, obviously following us on any of the platforms is great. Also the Patreon and also the Spreadshirt shop. Obviously Spreadshirt, we get a little bit of money from that, but you guys get swag out of it. So whatever you want to rock the brand, you want to support what Prepared Mindset is all about, equipping average civilians with information and being more capable, better people who can contribute in impactful and meaningful ways to their community, which is obviously totally rad. You can go do that. But we also have some really awesome partners, a pair of them actually, that have been rolling with us for years now. And I want to take a moment to tell you guys about them because without their support, we couldn't do this. And I'm going to start with my friends at Custom Night Vision, you guys. Night Vision's awesome, especially like this time of year. I know it gets late, it is late when it gets dark, so you kind of got to wait a little while before you can start using the night vision. But man, watching fireworks through night vision, especially Gen 3 tubes, it's honestly kind of cool. And then you got the fireflies, and it's just like, it's those summertime vibes, right? It's a little bit hot to be out, but at night it cools down and you can really get out. You can enjoy the night vision. It's not just shooting. That can be hiking. That can be going for a walk. That can be introducing people to it. You guys, head on over to customnightvision.com and see what they're all about as a company. These guys, their mission, their dedication, their passion is bringing access to night vision specific tools to folks like you and me, civilians who want to obviously be able to see in the dark, but want to be more capable. So whether you're getting into your very first device, like a PVS 14, right, which is, the gold standard of entry level, quote unquote, night vision units, single tube, you can get it with green phosphor, white phosphor. You can get tubes from Elbit, from L3, from NNVT, from Photonis, right? They have all that stuff in stock and more. And if you don't like the PVS 14, maybe you want to go a little bit lighter weight, or you want something that you can build into a dual tube set. You're kind of building this iteratively, right? Piece by piece, and you want to start your training sooner rather than later. They also carry the MH14 from Lloyd Innovations and the Tonto from Nocturne Industries. So you can buy those as an individual unit. And then in a couple of years down the road, when you save up more money, you can bridge those together. You can pair those together, not just with some weird janky bridge, but you can actually pair them together with one unified construct. It's a really, really cool concept. Or if you guys just want to buy binocular night vision all at once, again, it's customnightvision.com. You can use their builder tool. So you can pick whatever binocular housing you want, whether that's, an RNVGA, whether that's the Manticore from Nocturne, DTNVSs or the MH1s from Lowlight. They have all that stuff in stock. And you guys, if you have questions, there is a chat function built into the lower right corner of the website. You can reach out and you can ask Kevin, Trevor, Ben, anything you want, anything you need. They are there to provide you with a very transparent purchase experience. It's Custom Night Vision, you guys. One last time here, customnightvision.com. Those guys are badass, man. And this is really a cool time of year to be playing with the night vision. But before I go on about any of that, I do also want to say thank you to our very, very good friends over at 100 Concepts. And dude, 100 Concepts, man, it seems like they just blew up in the last couple of years, and they are just doing fantastic work, you guys. The company motto is do good, be dangerous, live free. And the website is 100concepts.com. So if you guys are looking for solutions to be more concealed, more camouflaged, to be more effective out in the field, 100concepts.com, that's the website. Head on over and check out the entire catalog that they have available. So whether it's the scope caps, because, as much as we make the modern warfare jokes, scope glint is a real thing. That kind of stuff, reflection, it doesn't happen naturally out in nature. It's a concern, right? So whether it's off the reflector on your flashlight or off of the lens of your scope or red dot, 100 Concepts has solutions for you guys. Again, it's 100concepts.com. Go check out the hex cap line, the scope caps, the pro scope caps, and of course, the light caps, the innovation that put them on the map, you guys. And they're always making improvements. They're always making enhancements. And they even started carrying additional solutions. So things like the EOTech EXPS3 optic, things like the Holosun Iris laser, and Surefire light solutions, you guys. Again, it's 100concepts.com. Head on over to the website and check all of that out for yourselves and pick up some new gear today. So huge thank you to those two companies. Like I said, they've been rolling with us for a couple years now, and we're super, super grateful for the support. They allow us to bring this stuff to you guys on a regular basis, as well as, you know, hooking us up with some good gear, some good equipment, and they're out there looking out for you guys, trying to make sure that the civilians out here in the United States are more capable. And speaking of the civilians in the United States, you guys, let's talk a little bit about it. 4th of July is now in the rear view, right? I guess at the time you guys are listening to this, it is July 6th, so 2 days, right? 4th of July, so it's a big deal here. You know, obviously we like to celebrate our independence. And, you know, you get some of the weird meme posting. You know, I get it, right? But in truth, in honesty, in full transparency, right? I think one of the things that makes, I don't want to say just gun ownership, but I mean, it does tie closely to it, right? The Second Amendment, it makes it such a, I would say, an integral part of our culture, our society, the, I don't want to sound dramatic here, the fiber of our nation. The Second Amendment is woven into all of that because as armed civilians, right, we rebelled against the government of the time, which was, of course, the British monarchy, right, as colonies, and we fought. And we eventually, obviously, won our independence from Great Britain. And that's a big deal because, you know, that kind of thing doesn't happen all the time in the world. And as, you know, technology develops and as time rolls on, we're in 2025, right? You know, the possibilities of it, obviously, you look at things, you know, I don't know if we could really do it in today's day and age just because of, you know, how some things are. I still think that's not like a reason to just, you know, give up the fight or anything. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, A, it's important to celebrate it because it is, you know, in many ways, it's the birth of our nation. You know, I know we didn't necessarily become a nation. The Constitution wasn't ratified till later and things like that. But really, our independence and why we celebrate it on July 4th, it's a huge deal for us as a country and something that, you know, you can't take for granted. Because I think in the last couple of years, we've really seen the I want to borrow the same phrase, but the fiber of our country, the character of our country, the culture of our country really shift. And we're just now seeing it swing back, I think, where for a very long time there, it was not popular to be patriotic in this country. And I know that, and I'm not saying that that's a reason to ever do or not do anything, right? I'm not saying that, you know, hey, you should do this just because it's popular, or you should not do that because it is popular or isn't popular, whatever. What I'm saying is just from a strictly observation standpoint is that for years, right, and you guys know what I'm talking about, it was very, very popular to be anti-American, to talk about everything in this country and everything in the history of this country is wrong, is morally bankrupt, is racist, you know, and certainly we as a country, just like, you know, and before we were even a full-fledged country, right, because if you guys study your history, we didn't just like, boom, all of a sudden we were the United States of America with a united currency and united government and rules and laws. Like, we won our independence, and then things, we had to figure some shit out, and that was not an overnight process, right? And certainly we ended up with the American Civil War, and, you know, we're talking about slavery and obviously the civil rights movement of the 60s here in this country and whatnot. Like, we certainly have made mistakes as a country and as a culture. And I think as all countries and cultures do, you hopefully learn from them. And I think we have, you know, I think that there's so much to be thankful for and so much to celebrate in this country, our freedom, and that we live, right, in a country founded by great men who had the foresight to look at some of these issues and say, hey, we never, ever want to end up in this situation again. So how can we build the framework, the structure, the foundation, right, of the country that we imagine in our mind's eye, right, so that not now, not in 10 years, not in 50 years, but in 200 years from, you know, or 250 years, right, from when we sign this piece of paper and everything, how can we build this in a way that's going to future-proof it so that we can't, you know, have the legalese and the worming and stuff. You know, that's why to some degree the Second Amendment is worded the way it is. And it's intentionally ambiguous with its definition, because I think that the framers, the founders, right, they knew that if you added a certain definition, it was not just a definition, it was a limitation, right? And we see it with all of the elected leadership in this country who are anti-Second Amendment, where they go, oh, well, that was referring to muskets and cannons. And it was like, well, muskets and cannons were relatively, right, those were the arms of the day. The military was using cannons, that's artillery. So you're saying that, relatively speaking, right, we should have access not only to AR-15s, but also to tanks, howitzers, right? I mean, recoilless rifles, law rockets. And it's, no, that's preposterous. And you know what I mean? Like, we've all seen that. So, I mean, we don't need to beat that dead horse. But this was a country that was founded on the sole desire for civilian people to want to defend their home and their right to a better way of life, you know? And it's an awesome ideal. And I think that's what, you know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, people go, this is the greatest country on earth. And, you know, you could cue that awesome video clip from The Newsroom on HBO with Jeff Daniels and company. And if you ever watch the show, it actually is really, really good. I'll say, as somebody who watched I think it's three seasons of it, Olivia Munn's in there, and I think there's a couple other people. It's actually done really well. And they do, I will say, because I think Jeff Daniels in real life is a Republican, but they do try to be pretty objective while also dipping their toes into both like party spaces and stuff like that. So it's worth looking into. But I think this is the greatest country, you know, in the world, because, you know, while we may be may now or have been recently, right, in a place that maybe wasn't so great for different reasons, we have the potential to rectify those issues and those problems much more quickly than many countries, if not every country in this world, because of the freedoms that we have. And I know this is cue all the people on the Facebook chat that would be, you know, lots of countries have freedom. And yeah, I get that, dude. But don't take everything so literally. I'm not saying that just the presence of freedom in and of itself is what makes us great. The way that we are granted those freedoms, which were guaranteed by God, but we all know that that doesn't necessarily make a difference when you look at other places around the world where they have quote-unquote freedoms granted and guaranteed to them by God, and that they live under a system of government, that's a totally different part of this conversation I'm not trying to get into right now. What I'm saying is that we have been able to right the path on some things in the last couple of years as a culture, as a 2A community. To some degree, I think we were largely responsible for that. And we're able to put ourselves on a better path to, I think, greater prosperity. And other countries may not be able to do that. You know, their governmental systems work very differently. They have multiple, we have multiple houses of government, but they have multiple levels with multiple houses in some other countries. And it becomes very convoluted, and it's very difficult then for the voice of the common citizen to be heard. We don't have that here, you know? We have one level with multiple houses, and it's still really fucking hard for the voice of the average citizen to be heard. So think, you know, if you multiply how many levels you have by two or by three, think how much worse it is in some of those countries. You're like, well, how the hell is my voice ever going to matter or be heard? And the answer is, it really isn't. You know, and we already feel that way here in the United States. And I think we're pushing for more accountability, obviously, with our elected officials. I know a lot of people, will scream that from the mountains, you know, hold them accountable, with Trump's big, beautiful bill, right? You know, hey, go pester the shit out of your elected senators and tell them you want this stuff included, or you want this, or you want that, or with any piece of legislation. You know, we encourage people to reach out to their elected officials and try and generate the discussion, try and grow those relationships to get what you want done. I mean, they serve at the behest of you. That's the whole idea of elected leadership. But without getting into too many of the flaws and problems and issues with our governmental system, I still think that celebrating the 4th of July it's an amazing time of year. Everybody, you know, I remember growing up, like, everybody was American. Like, everybody would go, you know, Old Navy made a killing off the fucking t-shirts and whatnot, but everybody would get the American flag t-shirts and the tank tops, right? And then all the girls wearing the American flag bikinis and bathing suits. Guys got them too, you know, and the short shorts. Everybody's wearing cowboy hats and kind of, it's weird. For whatever reason, we all turn into rednecks for the 4th of July. Like, I was wearing a cowboy hat yesterday, or it actually is a real Stetson. And it's like, you know, we had a couple friends come over and the first thing out of their mouth was, wow, you guys look like the fucking holiday. I'm like, yeah, cool. I mean, yeah, awesome. You know, I had like some Toby Keith on the speaker and everything. And, you know, it's a good time, right? And I think that we should celebrate it and we should keep celebrating it, get the fireworks and shit. You know, and I say that as somebody, you know, my dog, one of my dogs, does not like the fireworks at all. So we're starting to explore some CBD therapy stuff with him. Hey, give him a couple, you know, nummy nummies, see if we can't help mellow him out. Just so he's a little bit more comfortable during all of it. We bring him in the house. As long as he's inside, he's okay. But it can be pretty traumatic. I know we have certainly a lot of vets that, suffer from that as well. But I will say this, I don't think for one moment that is a reason for us not to celebrate. And a lot of people will get up in arms and say, you know, veterans have PTSD and that's going to trigger them. You shouldn't let off fireworks. And I honestly, I've never talked to a single veteran that said that. I know good men, right, who do struggle with and suffer from PTSD in a multitude of ways. Most of them know it and they take themselves out of those situations. I think a lot of them would rather see you celebrate the 4th of July. I think it's a symbol, right, of a lot of what many of these service members fight for. It's our country, right? Our independence, our freedom. It's the United States of America. So, you know, the 4th of July is something that I think we need to, you know, hold on to and continue to hold on to and do more with it. You know, if you're one of those people, you know, I saw some comments and I don't want to get super down the rabbit hole because at some point it doesn't become constructive and it doesn't lend itself to anything. But, you know, I saw a comment section where we're going, oh yeah, happy 4th of July. I'll be wearing my Juneteenth shirt, which is a separate holiday, for different reasons. And I think it's a little bit, I don't know. I think it's weird that people have to bring politics and make a political statement on every single fucking holiday in this country. Like it's the only time that they can make the point or protest anything. And that's what's so damn upsetting is it's like, you know, this is 4th of July. We try to teach kids, hey, we celebrate this because of our independence and here's the history behind it, right? You guys learn about this in school or you should. I know when I was in school, we learned about all of this stuff, right? It's the American Revolution, everything that led up to that with the colonization of America. The scope on that story is so fucking different with how, you know, the pilgrims came here and instead of how they made friends with the Indians and had the first Thanksgiving and then we, you know, colonized America and then, you know, fought against the British. It's like, oh, we came over here and we raped and pillaged the natives and spread disease. And then we decided that, you know what I mean? Like the perspective on so much of the stuff in the schools has changed, right? So now we have school children who don't, we have kids who are 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever. They don't want to celebrate 4th of July. They are, and there's statistics out there. There's polls run by people on both sides of the aisle in different ways, in different mediums, right? How many people are embarrassed to be an American in 2023, in 2024, in 2025? And those numbers are pretty, I think it's down this year. I don't know. I would hope it is, but there's years there where it's like, oh yeah, you know, 64% of Americans are embarrassed to be an American. And then, you know, that's like the shittiest thing ever, man. Like this is by and large, the country in the world where you have the most freedom in basically any regard. You want to own guns? You have more firearms rights in this country than almost any other, and yeah, I would at least with literally any other than what I'm aware of. You know, there might be better ones out there. I don't know. If you are into your, you know, reproductive rights and freedom, you have more here than you do in some countries, right? I mean, almost anything. Pick any topic. Gay rights, you know, whatever. I mean, there's countries in this world they limit how many kids you can fucking have, right? We don't deal with that here. And people are, oh, this is a terrible country. You should be ashamed to be American. Like I've had people I considered at one point to be good, you know, friends and intelligent people who gone through a lot of schooling, right? And they'd share stuff on social media like, you know, not sure what we're celebrating about, but at least I get to see a parade today. And it's like, really, you fucking hate this country that much? You think as somebody who's, you know, gay or bi-curious, or maybe you're straight or whatever, or you're an atheist and whatever, you don't believe in religion, or, you know, like, we don't have a state-sponsored religion here. Like, there are parts of the world where you have to follow certain religious beliefs. Otherwise, they, I don't know, chop off your head, chop off your hands, whatever, you know, rape your daughter and sell her as a wife when she's 11. That shit's fucking real, you guys. And people are actually sitting here going, this place is fucking terrible. It's like, you don't, like, and here's the thing. I've never been to a lot of these places, but, like, I know this shit exists. Like, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't doubt for any instant that there are horrible places out there, right? You know, these people know that those places exist out there, and you're going to sit here and talk about how awful the United States is, right? Being the place that everybody else in the world can literally spend a lifetime trying to work and save enough money to move to this country because of how much better it is. And we got the fucking suburbanites here telling us about how bad we are as a country. And it's fucking hilarious. Because it's like, you know, in any other country, you'd been killed. Well, A, in a lot of instances, they wouldn't have been allowed in, right? Because if you don't, like, we saw it when Trump was president the first term, right? So many people, oh, I'm going to move to Canada. And Canada wasn't allowing people in. Because, hey, if you don't have, like, a marketable skill, if you don't have something you're bringing with you to make Canada as a country better, we're not letting you in. And everyone just stayed here. Because it's like, oh, yeah, my underwater basket weaving degree with my iguana farm that I run making 10 grand a year while claiming government assistance is not enough for me to go move to Canada. Like, yeah, they don't want you there. They don't want you taxing their system. Like, that shit's real, man. Here in the United States, we're trying to make things better. You know, we're trying to get it a little bit better. It's not perfect, you know, but you got a pretty cushy deal here if you're one of those fucking people. And, you know, if you don't like it, then use your voice as a part of the democratic system we have in place. This is a democratic republic, so we have elected leadership. Contact them. Lobby for what's important to you. Change it. But if there's more people that don't want that, hey, you're probably not going to get what you want. And that's because it's not fair to subjugate, you know, 65% of this country to what the minority want, simply because the minority's louder. And that's the cultural, like, battle I think we're fighting in this country right now. So, I think we're starting to win. I think with this Trump administration, I know I'm not doing everything perfect, and I'm not saying that he's, you know, the messiah of the United States of America or anything, but I do think there's a lot of good change coming because of that. And I think that this 4th of July, maybe look at our country and go, hey, maybe we are as a country, and it's going to extend past the Donald Trump presidency. Right, it will. So in 2030 or whatever year it is, when he actually, I think it'll be 2029, whenever he leaves office, you know, and we go on to the next guy, whoever that is, right? We will be, I think, by all indications, in a better place than we were when he came in, you know, and that's something to be thankful for, because if you guys look at the last 4 years as a country, we kind of lost a lot of our identity. You know, 4th of July felt a little bit less special. People were on both sides of the aisle, right? I guess were less excited to celebrate 4th of July because it wasn't the country that we recognized anymore, you know? And then for some folks, it wasn't the country they knew it should be or something. I hate self-righteous, pretentious pricks. I hate it. Can't stand it more than fucking anything. And they all decide that they're going to fucking grow a voice on the 4th of July when everybody else is just trying to take one day a year to not go to fucking work, to barbecue and to set up some fireworks in celebration of the fact that we are a free nation. And you get these people, like, we were, where did we go? My wife and I, we drove, we went somewhere, right? We're driving down the freeway, and there's these bridges here that cross over the freeway, and they're walking bridges, right? And they got, like, the fenced-in cages that go, you know, up the sides and around the top. Basically, A, to keep people safe, but B, so you can't, like, throw bricks and rocks and shit onto the fucking freeway or bicycles or whatever. Excuse me. And there were, like, probably a good 30 or 40 people across the bridge holding up all kinds of signs. And the part that really fucking irritated me more than anything else is they were holding upside-down American flags on Independence Day. And that shit just fucking pisses me off. Now, I respect the right to protest. I do. And, you know, cool. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. And if you guys don't understand the symbolic gesture of the upside down flag, it's a country in distress. So, you know, military bases, things like that. There's also a really, really good movie with Robert Redford called The Last Castle. It also has, God, what's his name? The dude that played the, I keep wanting to say Paul Giamatti, and it is not Paul Giamatti. The guy that played Tony Soprano in The Sopranos. It's going to come to me in like 5 minutes, right? And I'll be in a totally different point and just get blurted out, right? But it's a movie about a military prison. At the end of it, they raise the flag upside down so that people on the outside of the prison can see that they're in distress and come in and help them, because the warden has like lost his mind. It's very, very abusive and everything. It's a fantastic fucking movie. But when I see that stuff and people are doing that specifically, it tells me two things. One, that they don't understand what's going on in this country. They value, I think, the wrong things. This is my perspective and opinion only, and they would probably disagree very heavily with me, that they're going to, on the 4th of July, they're going to fly that flag or hold that flag upside down. Now, the other part that's more upsetting to me about that is, in addition to their right to do that, they probably don't treat that flag very well. They'd probably be the kind of person that burns a flag. They might be the kind of person that puts the flag on the ground. And when you're younger, that stuff maybe doesn't mean as much to you. When you're older, I will say that I take that stuff extremely seriously. And I've called the city before on, you know, we take our dogs to our subdivision here on a walk and everything. And there's at least two houses I know. They always flew a flag, which I love, but they never take care of it. So look at a new one, and then you can watch it by the next year. It is ripped and tattered, and it looks like shit. And I think there's actually some kind of city code or something about flying a flag in that kind of condition, which it's totally weird. Like, it's not, it is legal to burn a flag because it's a lawful way of protest, I guess, albeit a very shitty one, in my opinion. But to fly a flag and leave it in that kind of haggard condition is not legal, which I think, like, hey, look, if you can't afford a new one, just take the old one down. And if you can afford a new one, go get a new fucking flag and then take the old one to like a VFW post or something. Well, they will properly dispose of it in the ways that are, you know, legal and right. So yeah, I mean, 4th of July, I don't want to sit here and go too much longer on this, you guys, but it's a major holiday that I think a very big importance. You know, on the list of things, people look at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's gifts, and there's way more food with those and everything. And I get it. Like, I love these holidays. I do. But the 4th of July, I think the symbolism behind it is, you know, as a country, especially for the transformation we're undergoing right now, I think it's so important. So I want to take time to talk about it there because, you know, I think if we don't talk about that kind of stuff, you know, we don't do it a true service. But the other thing I do want to make sure I want to transition here and talk about is the flooding going on down in Texas. And I'll be upfront with you guys. I don't have a ton of information on it. I've not had the time to dig into this and deep dive. So I'll give you some cliff notes and then I'm going to share some thoughts and things. And so there has been flooding in Texas. I mean, obviously I just said that, right? And the at the time of this recording, the casualty count has reached 32, which is really upsetting. It's very sad. I was getting updates and notifications on my phone that, excuse me, the flooding was rolling through children's summer camps. I think there was at least, I think there was a couple of them, a boys camp and a girls camp, right, where, or a girls camp and then a Boy Scouts camp or camping trip or something, where they were washed away. And I don't know that there were any casualties from those, but obviously when you have a large collection of children who are not in a situation to take care of themselves, it's of grave concern, right? Because it's not like you can just drive up to the camp and go get them. There's mass flooding. So they're kind of out on an island, so to speak, right, on their own with counselors and everything. But granted, I think like the legal ratio with counselors to chaperones, at least I think here in Michigan, is it like 1 to 8 or something like that, or 1 to 12? So it's like, okay, as one, think about this, as one adult in the middle of a flash flood, you have 12 children to take care of. I mean, so that the level of concern and complication and complexity, obviously that fluctuates. As you look at you got 12 4-year-olds in that shit. Like, holy hell, that's going to be a rough time. You have, you have 12 12-year-olds. Okay, so they're a little bit more self-sufficient. They can follow some commands, right? And some of them may be able to swim pretty well, just depending. So you might be in a little bit better case. But in any instance, right, it's really, really concerning, terrifying, right, even for parents. And this is, you know, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, this stuff happens, but you're never quite prepared for it. And here's the part that makes this even more difficult is we can have conversations like we talk about stuff on this podcast all the time about preparedness, prepping, capabilities and effectiveness. Like, so, and the question I think about when I see this and I go, you know, that's, you know, we're looking at kind of like what we saw in North Carolina, where it's good to be prepared and good to have these supplies and good to be ready on the go and be able to, you know, boogie on out of town at a moment's notice and shit. Right. And like, you know, we're prepared, ready to go. Or we're prepared to hunker down in the house, right? We got food storage, right, for 4 months, right? We got 4 months of dry food for all five or six of us, right? But we also got enough backpacks and camping gear and MREs and sustainment goodies and everything like that, that if the family was to have to hit the road and bug out, right, to, you know, another location or something, we could be successful doing that for a decent amount of time, right? We have the supplies, we have the gear. I've taken the kids camping, or the wife and the kids, or maybe just me and the wife. We've gone camping, we've rehearsed critical action plans and things like that, so that we know, hey, in the event that this happens, we're going to do this, this, and this. In the event that that happens, we're going to do, you know, this, that, and the other thing, right? We have that going. But in the event that shit happens and your most critical and point of concern, your children, it's not at the house, what do you fucking do? And it's like, what can you do? You know, I mean, it's flash flooding. It's not like you have a whole lot of choice. You can't just traverse a boat through that shit because you don't know what's under the water. It's not assumed that it's open water because it's flooding. So you're talking about houses and fire hydrants and cars and lampposts and shit like that. That would punch a hole in a boat hull, you know, so maybe like, what options do you have? There is, in many ways, in that specific scenario, not a lot you can do. I mean, yes, it's one of those times you can look at your children and go, hey guys, we're going to, you know, we teach you these skills. And certainly, you know, I mentioned the Boy Scouts, either camp or camping trip, whatever is going on. Now, yes, I believe those young men are hopefully well equipped and in that kind of situation are going to be okay, right? Because that's the whole point of the Boy Scouts, is to teach you, I don't want to say survival skills, but sustainment skills, and you get badges for, you know, that kind of shit and everything to a degree, right? Still gonna be a very, very difficult situation, but is there really a way that you can prepare for something like that? And, you know, I've been like racking my mind about it. Like, you can only do so much. You can't cover every single contingency or have your kid carry around like a 300-pound suitcase full of, you know, gear that's just for contingency planning. Like, hey, break glass, you know, in case of flash flooding. You know, you're not just going to carry an emergency inflatable raft around with you all day, every day, every, you know, week of the year. And you can't. You'll go insane. Not to mention, like, it's just not feasible, right? And that's just, sometimes I think we have to surrender ourselves a little bit to God and His mercy and hope for the best and pray for the best. Because when these acts, these swift and violent and terrible, these awesome but terrible things happen, right? What can you do? We're, in a lot of ways, as human beings, we're completely powerless. And I would encourage you guys, if you want to contribute, if you want to help, I know Kagan Dunlap and there's been a couple other pages too that have shared, if you want to donate supplies, they have addresses in parts, I want to say unimpacted, but non-flooded, I guess, non-flooded areas of Texas, where you can go ahead and you can send supplies, you can mail them stuff, or, you know, I guess if you want to try and do like a bulk order on Amazon and have it delivered somewhere, you can, you know, maybe that's a possibility. You know, it's tough, especially with so many other issues going on right now in the country, you know, with the heat here, and it seems by comparison really, really crappy, but, you know, can you just drop everything and drive down and help there? Maybe, I don't know. It puts you in a weird situation if you're a husband or a father and you leave and then the house loses air conditioning and it's 97 degrees. Like, then the house becomes unsustainable if you have a small child. There's a lot of considerations, right? I'm not trying to make excuses here. I'm just saying, like, hey, it's not always as easy as some people want to make it seem. And I'm not trying to throw shade at those who do go help in these instances. However, what I am saying is that a lot of people will say, if you didn't do anything to help for this, then fuck you and you're a worthless piece of shit. And to that I say, no, fuck you, you're a piece of shit, because everybody's circumstances are different. If you know somebody is able to help and won't, that is different. But you're operating off the assumption that you know every detail of that person's life, and you just fucking don't, which is a difficult part of relying on the good in people's hearts in times like this. And you have to hope that that good exists, and you have to pray that that good exists, and you have to hope and pray that it works out. And I know it seems like, you know, 32 casualties, like how good can it really be? And it's terrible. You know, loss of life like that, it's awful. It's difficult. But you hope that you can limit the loss. You can start to control the situation a little bit, Lord willing, and start to come back from it and repair life afterwards. And this is something that, you know, this stuff happens. You know, like I said, we saw it in the Carolinas. We see it during hurricane season in Florida. Every couple of years, they go through stuff like this. And we were just talking about it when I was in Florida for vacation. Hey, I wonder if insurance out here even covers some of these structures anymore, because, you know, with the kind of damage that Mother Nature and these forces of nature, these incredible events of weather can, what they can bring, the destruction they can carry. You know, are companies even going to deal with that anymore? It's a lot, man. It's a hell of a lot. So like I said, if you feel that you want to contribute, if you want to help, there are, I know, I think Caleb with Prevail Armament, I think, is posting stuff. I think Kagan Dunlap is another one who's posting addresses of where you can mail or drop supplies. There are a couple other pages out there. It's not the, obviously Texas is huge. It's not the entire state that's impacted. I was just talking with a buddy the other day who's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who was completely unaffected and was on a SWAT call out. So it's not the entire state, but it is still a big deal and something that I think that if we're able to, as a community, come together and help assist people in their time of need, I think that's a fantastic thing, obviously, right? I know it's a very cringy and overdone thing, but thoughts and prayers with all those people that are impacted. So whether you're there dealing with it, or you have loved ones that are there, or whatever the case may be, you know, reach out to God, pray, ask for help, ask for His grace and His assistance, and, you know, just have to wait and see how it plays out. You know, unfortunately, like I said, in these kinds of situations, we're powerless to do a whole lot about it except just what we can do. And it kind of reminds you when this happens of how powerless we can be in some instances, and also that we have a limited amount of control. You know, with all the preparation, all the planning, all the gear, all the food, all the whatever that you have stocked up, at some point, it's just not enough. And that's the sad truth. That's why I think it's important not to get so, like, we don't get all hyped up over, you know, I look at this and I go like, well, what would have saved you in this situation, guys? Learning CQB or learning small unit tactics instead? And it's like, what are you fucking talking about? And it's like, exactly. The point is that there's so much other shit out there you could have learned to help with this, and you never know what's going to happen. You know, it's just, you do what you can. Do the best you can, when you can, how you can, to whatever extent you can, and surrender the rest to God's grace. So God bless everybody who's dealing with that. So the last thing I'm going to touch on this. I'm going to, tease it. I'm going to hint on it. Yeah, because we have our weekly pod episode that we do I record on Tuesday evenings. It drops Wednesday mornings. Obviously in very recent news, I'm sure some of you guys were expecting to tune in on this episode, right, and hear about the passing of President Trump's big, beautiful bill, which is passed now, right? So, the Senate, it made it through the House. When it went to the Senate, they were tied 50-50, and Vice President J.D. Vance was the tie-breaking vote to pass that. He was number 51. And there's a bunch of shit in there. It's a very large bill. And obviously, those of you guys who are in the know about this know that one of the things that that people were really excited about was it would have been the outright removal of certain items from the National Firearms Act. And that was removed from the bill. Now, we did have a removal of the $200 tax stamp, the $200 tax for those items. Now, I believe you still have to go through that process. You just don't have to pay for it anymore, but the thought is it opens a lot of doors to legislatively being able to remove those items, if not all out, or sorry, if not outright, working for a way to end the NFA altogether. And there's some other stuff too. We're going to get into what I just mentioned, right, with the NFA items. We're going to get into more stuff too, getting into that on this week's pod discussion. So you guys, if that's something you're interested in, make sure you tune in and check that out. But that's where I'm going to end it for this week's sit rep discussion. So thank you guys so much for checking this out and listening. Appreciate the hell out of all of you. I do sincerely hope you guys had a fantastic, or are having, if you're listening right at the drop, are having a continued awesome 4th of July weekend. Hopefully you have the same number of fingers and toes as when you came into it. I love that meme, but I also am kind of scared by it. It's like, hey, just think about this. This is the last Monday where some poor schmuck is going to have all 10 fingers or all 10 toes or whatever. So hopefully you had a good, safe holiday weekend. Nothing too crazy going on. No heat stroke, stuff like that. Eat a bunch of watermelon and hot dogs. But thank you guys so much for listening and for supporting The Prepared Mindset. If you guys enjoy this, make sure you hit that subscribe button. That helps us out a ton. And don't forget to share us with your friends. More people that know about this, the better, and the more stuff we can do. It's pretty awesome. So thank you guys for listening. Appreciate the hell out of you, and stay safe out there. Stay cool. And until next time, everybody, like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.